Welcome back to Just One Question. I am really excited about my next guest because he comes from a part of the world that thought leaders and public speakers and communicators really need to know more about. They don't know as much as they should. This is a fast-changing world. It's a fascinating one. And of course, it's the lifeblood of the communications world. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the publishing industry. Who am I talking to? Naren Ariel, who is the founder and CEO of Amplify Publishing Group, one of the pioneers of the hybrid publishing world. And we're going to talk about that. And a 20-year veteran of this fast-changing industry. So just the fact that he survived and indeed thrived for 20 years in this industry says a lot. And he's still got more hair than I do. So that's a real sign of success. Welcome, Naren. How you doing?
Hey, Nick. I'm doing really well. Thank you for that. Yes, I got my start when I was 15 years old.
It's amazing how young people start these days. So anyway, what are you excited about now in the hybrid publishing world? And if you wanted to annotate and just tell us a little bit about the hybrid publishing world, that would be great too. But what are you excited about?
Sure. The hybrid publishing world, for those that may not know, is a business model that is somewhere between self-publishing on one hand and traditional publishing on the other. And what I'm really excited about is under the hybrid publishing model, we have the ability to create books that are editorially excellent, beautiful book packaging, and offer the same marketing and distribution, and in some cases, greater marketing and distribution than what the largest houses in New York are offering. We do this under a business model that is inverted from what the traditionals offer. Our authors contribute to production-related costs, but in exchange, they get the lion's share of book sale royalties. And it's a model that's growing in popularity. And I'm just so pleased to have been one of the early adopters in the hybrid world.
Fantastic. And one of the debates I stumble into all the time is with clients and friends and colleagues and interested people who say, why should I publish hybrid versus traditional publishing? And you mentioned the inverted costs, which are just extraordinary. For anybody who's published a traditional book, you know that your royalties, if you earn back your advance, are going to be on the order of $2-3 a book, something like that. It's shocking when you learn how low they are. And so you mentioned the inversion of the financial relationship, but what else is going on with hybrid publishing that makes it different than the traditional publisher? So just fill us in a little more.
Sure. So first, let me say that I'm a big fan, of course, of traditional publishing. There's a place for traditional publishing, and there's been a longstanding place for traditional publishing. I'm also a fan of alternative pathways to publishing, including self-publishing. And so for us, what I'm most excited about is the ability to get to market quickly. The traditional cycle is probably twice as long as the hybrid cycle. The ability for the authors to really control their messaging, in addition to having intellectual property ownership, they get a say, final say, actually, in terms of things like cover design, final editorial questions. And so for the right author who's interested in going into market with a company, and there are others, we're not the only ones, that have a lot of experience creating high-quality books, it's actually a very good pathway to publishing that is gaining steam as we continue here. We've been doing this for 20 years, as I mentioned. The last five have really been focused on thought leadership titles, and that's how you and I have actually gotten to work together on a few projects.
That's right.
So that's that's in a nutshell what I'm most excited about in terms of the world of hybrid publishing.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And one of the differences that that really sort of gets to the core of the author experience, the thought leader experience, is that as you begin this project, of course, as a thought leader, you're thinking about the idea and capturing the intellectual property that you're writing about, whatever that field of study is. And that's your main focus, and it should be as an author. But then there's this other thing that creeps in there, and it's called platform in the traditional publishing world. Talk to me about platform. How do you look at it, and how is your view perhaps a little different than the traditional view of platform?
So I'm in the world of publishing, of course, but I am. I like to always tell my authors that think of your book as a key element of your overall platform. Do not think of your book as the only element of your platform, because if you do, you're destined to not reach your goals. The book is a part of a larger content strategy that for many thought leaders includes keynote speaking, blogging, social media, seminars, other ways to get your message out there. The book, of course, is a central piece of that. And it's a place where it's long form, of course, where you can put a lot of ideas and you can really dive into ideas, give case studies, provide a ton of narrative. But it's best when it's coupled with all these other avenues that make up your overall content platform.
Yes, and exactly. And how do you look at it? The way I look at it is that there are a million competing ideas, and there might literally be more than that. I think it's 1.5 million books published every year in the United States was the last time I heard a number like that. But there are, let's just use million as a nicely rounded number. There are 1 million ideas competing for attention in the world. And your strategy has to be a multifaceted one that encompasses more than just the book. That's your point. And how should an author think about once they start the book in terms of the timing? How soon should they be starting to think about platform and other forms of getting the word out and that kind of thing?
So when you're writing your book, you should have you should also be thinking about marketing your book. And so when you're writing a book, you should consider who's the target audience. You and I have heard this before where somebody will say, "Hey, Nick, I got this incredible book idea. Everyone's going to love it."
Right? Does your heart sink like mine when you hear those words?
Well, it sinks, yes, but now it's also more of an eye roll where I want to just say something like, "Well, that means nobody's going to love it because you don't know, you don't even know who's going to love it." So as you're writing and formulating your content strategy, know your niche, who you're writing for. Mm-hmm. And so keep that in mind as you're writing the book. And even before the book is launched, I like to also say, pretend like the book is already here 6 months or a year before the book is already here. Mm-hmm. You know, start introducing content that is that will supplement your book, start cultivating your audience. And then when the book is finally here and you're ready to make that ultimate ask, it is a warm ask as opposed to a cold ask. You've done the legwork to cultivate your audience. Those are some of the things that I would keep in mind.
Yeah, wonderful. And we could talk all day about this, but I just can't resist. One last question. So often I have the experience when I start to talk to a potential author that they have some fear that somebody else is going to scoop their brilliant idea. So that this is the stage at which they're hugging it close to their chest and they're saying, "I'm not going to tell anybody else this idea." Mm-hmm. And there's this beautiful irony that the day the book comes out, then they want to tell everybody in the universe about the idea. And how do you bridge that gap between those two states? It's like you have to flip a switch from one, or it's like for an author that you do flip a switch from one to the other. But what can you tell an author who's busy trying to hug their idea close to their chest and not let anybody else know about it? Is that a healthy attitude, or should they be thinking along other lines?
So you and I have a lot of similar experiences, it seems. I've heard this before. I've said something like, literally, "Trust me, nobody's trying to steal your idea." So you know, my message is always the same. Talk about your idea broadly, as loudly as you possibly can, as early as you possibly can. And if for no other reason, at that point, you're on record of talking about your idea.
Exactly. So you've got the IP staked out, right?
In case it's a timestamp.
Yeah, exactly. In case somebody else does come and steal your idea. Naren, like I say, I could talk to you all day. This is a topic of endless fascination and importance for authors and would-be authors. Thank you so much for taking the time. And Naren Ariel, everybody, if you're thinking about publishing a book, if you're thinking about taking ownership of that book and having some control over it and having a great experience, Then think about hybrid publishing, think about amplified publishing. You can still get a good experience, full disclosure, you can still get a good experience for traditional publishing. I've done both. I like them both. But this is a good time to be thinking about hybrid publishing. Naren, thank you so much.
Hey, Nick, this is such a pleasure. Enjoyed it. Thank you for having me on.